Seen this morning.
Amen.
God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We can go ahead and let the musicians go to their seats. And it's good to be with you. Good to see each one of you. Just come out to the house of the Lord and just enter into worship. Ask the Lord to come and speak to us this morning. I had just a couple of announcements to make before we get into the service. Brother David DeLeon sends his greetings to everyone. I meant to tell you that last week and forgot, but anyway, so he sends his greetings to you and is thankful for our support. Wonderful brother there in Mexico. And also, it's good to have Sister Gloria with us. I had a text that I had gotten from her, and I was going to share with you some of it this morning, so I'll go ahead and tell you what I was going to tell you on her behalf, and that was to thank you for your prayers and your good thoughts about her. She wanted us to give that to you, and so I'll go ahead and do that while she's here, and want to just thank the Lord for the family that we have, I guess, is really a good thing that we have. So wanted to do that, and also wanted to just mention that next weekend when Brother Jason is here, Saturday night is not actually going to be a service here. We're going to have a fellowship there at my house, and everyone's invited. It's going to be kind of, Jason's going to be ministering toward the children, the young people, at some point during the evening. We're going to do that, but it's basically a fellowship meeting and everyone is invited. So we want to do that, and we will let you know at a later time what the time we're going to start gathering would be. But I'd like to see everyone come if you can, and so we just want to make sure you know about that so that you can set aside time for that. And then, of course, Sunday morning, he'll be ministering for us at the regular time. And so I like Brother Jason. He's got enthusiasm, and he's got a good testimony. He's got quite a testimony of how God moved in his life. So we want to certainly give way to have room for that. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 7. This morning, I'll title this Rapturing Faith, and I want to give it a little subtitle, Signs That We Are Nearing the Change of Our Bodies. Rapturing Faith, Signs That We Are Nearing the Change of Our Bodies. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? A lot of people like the families that are hurting from the accident there that Brother Daniel was telling you about. We just pray that the Lord would be a comfort to those he said he would be. So, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just are so thankful for your blessings upon us, Lord, that we could be in your house, be with your people. Lord, we want to just lay our hearts before you this morning and just ask God that you'd come and just use, Lord, my voice and be speaker and hearer, God, that the things that you would have said this morning would be spoken, Lord, and that you would have your people hear, Lord, that it would drop down into their hearts and accomplish that which you send it for. We love you, Lord. We want to commit this time into your hands and just surrender ourselves totally to you so you have the liberty, and we know where your presence is, there is liberty. So we ask, God, that as you reciprocate, as you come, that we would also reciprocate to you, Lord, and that we would just be so caught up in your blessing and your presence this morning. We commit this time into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. How many would like to have rapturing faith?
Amen.
Amen. I know I certainly do. Because I tell you what, if you're looking to this to give you rapturing faith, it just don't do it. It just absolutely works the opposite. And I want to say congratulations to my sister and her new husband. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and grant you happiness, and you're starting out good in church. Amen. So I want rapturing faith, and God has a way for us to get rapturing faith. And so we want to talk about that this morning. I believe that there are people on the face of the earth, and I'm looking at them, but I believe there's people right now on the face of this earth that will not see death, will not taste of death themselves. They might see it, but they won't taste of death themselves, because I believe that's exactly what hour we're in. And I've said this in the past, but we're the first people on the face of the earth that know for sure that we're living in that hour. Everybody else just had to probe at it, and the Lord did purposely make it so that in every age they felt like the coming of the Lord was right then, and he did that on purpose because you know our nature, that if we thought it was 20 years off, we'd be slack, right? I have to tell you, that's just the way it is, and so he always made it that way. But the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So rapturing faith will come from rapturing word.
Right?
Does that make sense? So we want rapturing faith. It'll have to come by a rapturing message. A message that will come that will give to us rapturing faith. So it'll be rapturing words. Well, what are these words? Well, we all know most of what I'm going to tell you this morning, but I pray that the Lord will give you just a little bit of a nugget of something out of there that maybe you haven't seen before. Not that that's what we're here to see or hear something new, but we obviously love it when the Lord gives us revelation. And so, what are these rapturing words? Well, it is, obviously, it's a seven-sealed message, but we also know it is the mystery of God being revealed. And so, actually, this end-time message that we talk about, it's the same message that's been here all along. It's the same message Moses had, right? It's the same message Jesus had, same message Paul had, or John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul. It's the same message, it's just further down the line. Everybody understand that, see? So God, that's the way God works. He's not the author of confusion. He doesn't take shotgun approaches and things like that. He's very pinpoint accurate on what he's doing. And so we are where we are today in the gospel because God wanted us to be where we are today. And we're in an hour where he's wrapping all this up. Everything that he's done through the ages, he's wrapping it up right now, finishing it up. He's fixing to close the book and say it's written or whatever. And so it's a mystery. It's a mystery of God being revealed. And it is a look back. This message of rapturing faith is a look back across the ages to see what God has done, see what he did and how he did it, right? It's to see what he's done and how he's done it, and to look back through history and to bring it all the way up to right now and let us see what he's doing, what he's done, and all the way to now, what he's doing now, how he redeemed the people of the past, and how he's redeeming you and I. And so we're the only people, we're the only generation that actually lived in an hour where God is showing us what, not just what he did do, but what he's doing right now. I mean, those Brother Branham said that people are all the time talking about what God did do and what he's going to do, but they fail to see what he's doing right now. And if you and I want to be blessed of God and be partakers of what God's doing, we've got to connect to him right now. We can't just connect to a God of history, because that doesn't do us any good, just a God of history. We got to know him now. That's why he said, I'm the I am. Not the I was or that I will be, but I'm the I am, because he's ever present, always here now, and that's the way we've got to know him. And when you're connected to him now, then you're privy to what he's doing right now. And that's what we have to have. And of course, he tells us what he's going to do, and we rejoice in what he's done in the past, but we must rejoice and be connected to what he's doing right now. And so we're the only people that's ever lived in an hour where God has revealed the whole plan of redemption, and we can even see the end of it, and the end of it has us in it. We're part of it. Right. While it's going on, by revelation, we're seeing it happen, and we can see that gospel line come down through history and come right up to us and then encircle us and make us the living expression of that same gospel in this hour. We can actually see that. Right. And so that's what these words of rapturing faith are. And so it's a message. We know that. It's a message to bring rapturing faith from rapturing words. Now, I don't know, but I think a lot of things people miss and fail to understand. I don't think that people sufficiently take all of the plan of redemption and everything about them. I don't think they actually take that and place it all in Christ Jesus to the level they need to. I mean, we can say, oh yeah, it's all up to him. It's all in his hands. But I think that still yet, you know, you got to have it down in your heart, not just in your head. And in our head, we say, yeah, it's all in him. He takes care of it all. But we've got to come to the place where we, down in our heart, in the most inner part of our being, we know that it all lies in him, and he's the one that makes all this happen, is bringing all these things to pass, especially this end time message. So it's all in him. And this revelation of this end time, one of the purposes of what it's to do is to take our minds off of everything else, everything that's man-made, every teaching, every whatever that's come along, everything that's not truth of the gospel. This message, this rapturing faith, comes from a message that is to take our eyes off of everything else and put our eyes strictly, totally on Christ, on truth, on exactly how he's redeeming man, and how he did it and what he did.
Yeah.
Even to our day. It gets us out of all the question, because God is not the author of confusion. And, you know, Satan's the prince of the power of the air, right? He can take and confuse everything. He does it. He makes confusion among... But God's not the author of confusion. So when God's doing it, God does it right, and he doesn't want, and he doesn't bring confusion. He knows what he's doing. He'll hide things from wise and prudent. He'll reveal it to babes. He'll hide himself in simplicity and reveal himself in simplicity. So he does. He does do that. But then in all that, there's no confusion in his economy. You understand what I'm saying? He can hide it from some, reveal it to others, but there's no confusion in it. I know that sounds strange, but I think you know what I'm saying. Because he knows what he's doing, and he knows he's not going to give to some wicked something the things that are pertaining to life. He's not going to cast pearls before the swine. He told you not to.
Yeah.
So he's not going to do that. So he has a reason why he'll hide it from one and reveal it to another, and maybe perhaps at some other later day, then reveal it to the one who he once hid it from. He might even do that. Hid it from Apostle Paul, only to reveal it to him later on.
Yeah.
Right? See? So it's scriptural that he does these things. But he knows what he's doing. And so this message is to take our mind off of everything that's going to lead you to a dead-end road. There's only one road that leads to life. And so this message has got to take the people who are going to have rapturing faith, their mind has to be, and their being has to be taken off of all these other things and brought to that revelation, so they are looking at the right thing, they're expecting the right thing, they're walking in the right thing.
Right.
And then that will produce it. See, that being caught up in the culmination or the vortex of that is what will bring it to pass. And so we know that's what the message has come to do, to show us that everything is in Christ Jesus. It's all in Him. Every aspect of redemption is in Him. Nothing elsewhere.
Right.
It's not even in you.
Right.
Believe it. It's not even in you. And he's going to show you that in this message. He's going to show you that you have nothing to do with it, and it had everything in the world to do with it.
Yeah.
Seems strange. Things with God is a paradox, but that's the way he works.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so wonderful to look at it and to know that I can't do anything for my salvation. I can't do anything to rapture me, yet I find something in me that's rapturing me.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we know is happening. And so it's to show us that all of the redemption, every aspect of redemption is in Him and what He did and not in us. And when we see that, when this message comes along and pulls us away from all man-made teaching, and we look upon that, that's what we feed on. And that's what begins to change us. That's what's going to change us. When we're feed, because you've got to eat the right thing. You've got to eat the right thing. You've got to do the right things. And you can't do it in yourself. You have to look to Him, and He'll be the one to give it to you. So our being saved is in Him. He's the one that did it. If I said, Brother Daniel, save yourself, could you do it? Now, Sister Mary, heal yourself. Could you do it? Your healing's in Him. It's not in you. Right? If I said, keep yourself straight. You can't keep yourself straight in yourself, because it's not designed for you to do it. It's designed for Him to be the one to do it. Everything is in Him. You know, the scripture said that every good gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good gift. Nobody's ever given you a good gift. God's the one that gave it to you. Right? God's the one that gives you. So every good gift coming from above. And so anything that pertains to life and righteousness, anything that pertains to that which will live forever, comes from God. And then anything else comes from somewhere else. See? We've got to get that straight. That the success of tomorrow for us has nothing to do with anything except Christ and Him alone. And what He's doing. And what He's going to do in us. And what He's doing in us. That's how it comes. Nowhere else. So therefore we're not going to look somewhere else. We're not even going to consider anything else. It's Him and Him alone. And that's what we get caught up in. And that's what we feed on day after day. And that's what it's going to change us, because we're feeding and eating on the right thing.
Yeah.
That's how it happens. It's Christ in you doing that. And so We leave everything else and feed on this, and this is what brings us rapturing faith. And I'm gonna get a little deeper into this. So our being saved, our being healed, our being kept from day to day. If I said, Brother Matthew, guide yourself. Can you guide yourself? Could you guide yourself somewhere where you've never been? You see what I mean? So even your guiding you from day to day, keeping you from day to day, healing you, saving you, all those things, he has to do it, and he does do it. It's not from somewhere else. When it comes time, we know that our names, we believe that our names are on the Lamb's Book of Life, right? And we know that Scripture tells us that at some point that book's going to be open, and what's read, what's in that book is going to be read. It's going to be known. You're going to, if I said, show me your name on that book, you can't do it, but he can, right? So even the showing of who you are, you're not going to show that you're God's child. He's going to show you that you're God's child. So he's the one that goes and actually reveals your name on that book, reveals it to you first, but then at some point he'll actually reveal it to the whole universe that you are his child, but it's him that does it. So even the revealing of your names. And when it comes down to time for your bodies to be changed, guess who does it? Not you. He does it. And he's got a way that he does it. And in all these things I'm talking about, he does it all, but he shares that activity and all that working in you. He's caught up in one with you in such a way that it's him in you doing it. And so I hope that doesn't confuse anyone, but maybe we'll come out a little bit more as we get a little further. And so even our changes of our body is something he does. So all of this is a work that he does. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so an end time message, now that's, I'm going to try to get back to that to show you that an end time message is to get us focused correctly to know that he's the source of everything we need. Everything. Even to the change of our bodies, to the revealing of the word to us, to we won't find any blessing coming from anywhere else except from him. And this message at the end time is to get us focused on the right thing, so we feed on the right thing, and the right things happen because of that. You know, he says, we say, well, a lot of people say, well, you know, Jesus knows, and he just, you know, he's forgiving, and he is. But they do that to the degree that they draw themselves out of the circle of ever growing into closeness to Christ and becoming better. They just go right off out, just the same old sinner, same old something, no change. Well, God loves me, he knows. That's not God's economy. God's economy is to always bring to go better. And so, you know, yeah, he leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one astray, but as he go out to the one and finds and says, oh, I forgive you because you went astray, and then he walks off and leaves them out there? No. Does he go get the other 99 and bring them out there where the one is? No. He takes that one. So everything is to take those sheep back into the fold where they belong, where they can be protected, and the shepherd will watch over them and do what he's going to do with them, right? And so that's the way it is. So everything comes from him and nowhere else, and we've got to come to that revelation, not just up here in our head, but down our heart. We know day after day he is our source, and we're not going to look anywhere else. We're not even going to let our brain trick us into looking somewhere else for a little bit. Yeah. We're going to wholeheartedly from the soul seek after him who is everything and our all in all. Amen. And that's where we look to. And so when we feed on that, it begins to move. It begins to work something in us and begins to pull us like a great magnet. I meant to bring some magnets here so I could just let the children demonstrate to you what I'm talking about. How many has ever played with magnets? You take one and lay it out there, and you begin to get down there, and it looks like nothing's happening. But there's a pull, and you get a little closer, and there's more pull, but you still don't see anything. And how many's ever done that? And all of a sudden, bam, just without, you can't even respond to it. That thing's gone, and it's raptured. Yeah. Because it's being pulled. It's being pulled by an invisible force. Now, if you could talk to that magnet down there who's sitting there on the palm of your hand, and that other great one, or maybe it's a piece of metal and that magnet's coming close, if you could talk to him and you could say, "What's going on? I don't know. I don't know what's happening necessarily. But all I know is that the hold of this world, it's losing its hold on me. I don't feel tied to this world like I used to. Something's happening to me. Because I'm not bound to the things of this flesh and of this world like I used to." Why? There's something pulling on it. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like a great magnet. When we have to get to the right thing, looking at the right thing, and feeding on the right thing. And when that happens, something starts pulling us, because now we're connected to the right pull. Anything else is pulling us downward. That's the only thing that can pull us upward. Right? It's the only thing that can take us higher is Christ Jesus, that pull of His Word, of rapturing Word, rapturing faith. And so, it's like a great magnet that pulls. And next thing you know, bam, it's gone. And that's exactly the way it happens for you and I. That's exactly the way it's going to happen for you and I. And so, this end time message, that's what it's for. It's to get us on the right track, to get us back to Christ Jesus, back to the truth, so that the things that that word can do in our life is actually doing it, because we're actually feeding on the right thing. It's an end time message. It's a seven seal message. It's the mystery of God being revealed. It's all those things. And so there was a lot of mysteries there. Now, I want to talk this morning, as we're taking this and take this rapturing faith and go in and talk about Melchizedek just for a little bit. And I mentioned it last week, a little bit about Melchizedek, the fact that God has to, in this hour, He's having this Melchizedek situation and the arrangement that we saw there, and then we're going to talk about this morning in Melchizedek. We're going to see that alive and present today, doing the same things today that He promised that we'd do and what it was all about to begin with. And so, one of the great mysteries that had to be revealed in this hour, remember, the seventh church age messenger, one of his jobs was to take all the loose ends, all the things that were laying out there that were truths that needed to be brought clear. That was one of his jobs, was to go and to bring these truths and to bring them out and make them clear. And I remember Brother Bram talking about whenever he went there and he had that series of message of marriage and divorce and, and who is this Melchizedek and, the different three or four different messages he had there in that little series where he was preaching in high school up there. And I remember he was saying there, and he said, I got all these people here that want me to dedicate babies. And he said, I just haven't had the time to do it. He said, I want to, but I haven't had the time. He said, because I have to keep, he said, all these brothers are taking care of all this other stuff. He said, so that I can stay in the presence of the Word and in the presence of the Lord, because I have to know from Him which one of these things to open. He knew what his job was. And he said, I've got to seek Him. I've got to know which one to open. And so one of them that the Lord told him to bring to the people was, who is this Melchizedek? And so he not only shows the truth about Melchizedek, he also shows the other times that Melchizedek met with Abraham, not as Melchizedek, but as Elohim, but that it was the same being. And how that Elohim discerned the thoughts of the intents of the heart behind him while Sarah's in the tent. And then Brother Branham goes ahead and demonstrates to the people that Melchizedek turns his back to the audience and actually is calling out and says, there's a man and he's over here and he's got this, wears this or whatever, and this is what's wrong. And he's got his back, but he says, I'm looking right at him. Because he's seen it, because he's a prophet, and he sees him by vision. And it's right, every one of them, dead on the money, by their names, and you're familiar with it, see? The only ministry that's come since Apostle Paul that had that kind of accuracy, right? And we've seen plenty of them don't have accuracy, but that one did. And so Brother Brandon knew that his job, what his job was, and so he began to preach about who is this Melchizedek, because man had it all scribbled up. Remember, you got to get on the right thing and everything else has got it all messed up. So man had it that, well, it was this and it was that and Melchizedek was something else and Brother Bram had to correct all that. And when he corrected it, he went right back to the scriptures and took what the scriptures said as face value and proved it that it's right. Man comes along and says, well, you know, it wasn't just, it was an order, which it is. There is a order of Melchizedek. But it was a priestly order, like there was all kinds of priests, and they were all under the order of Melchizedek. That's what man was trying to say, and some of them would say other things. Brother Bram said, no, it wasn't an order of a bunch of men, see? It was one man, Melchizedek. And so he brings us to that in this, and so he talks about it. And so in this sermon, and you realize what is his job is to tie up all these loose ends. But in tying these loose ends, what does it give to you? Rapturing faith. In the opening of the seven seals, what does it give to you? Rapturing faith. So there's questions in your mind. There's obstacles in your experience that you can't get past. But this message clears those up and moves those obstacles. The things that are standing between you and body change time, this message addresses them and deals with them until they one by one are out of the way and you can have a body change. That's the way this works. So when these things are being said and he goes back and begins to unfold all these things, they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. So, you know, you would ask yourself, well, why did God send Melchizedek in the first place? Why was that necessary? If he was going to be Christ later on, why did he just send Christ? But God has a reason why he sent Melchizedek. He has a reason why he did that. And so he has a reason why Brother Branham goes into the details about who Melchizedek was, because when he talks about who he was, he's telling us a whole lot about how this is going to work for you and I, this body change. So he gets into that, and we want to talk about it a little bit this morning. So in his sermon, he says, Melchizedek, we read it there, that he was priest of the Most High God, He was without father, without mother, without descent, not having beginning of days or end of life. And so, Brother Ram goes into that and he says, now, he says, God had thoughts, right? And before you can speak a word, you have to have the thought in your mind of that word. So if everything was created by the Word of God, and the Word says it is, then God had to have in his thoughts, thinking, thoughts pertaining to that before he spoke it. Right? And so he was showing here that God is this great, infinite one. He's not limited. He knows all things. He has all power. He's all those things. And how that God begins to come down and his purpose is to redeem us, and he has to leave that position and come down to a position where he can save us. Because remember, he had to be kinsman redeemer. He had to be man just like us in order to redeem us. So he had to become flesh. So he couldn't remain up there the way he was and do that. He had to come down, had condescend to our level to save us, that he might take us up to his level. And that's what he's doing. And so Brother Ram says, now, God was thought, and then he took that thought and made it word. He spoke it and made it word. And when he speaks it, that's the beginning, okay? Because prior to that is before the beginning, it'd be eternity. So in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God and was God. And so he takes thoughts, he makes it word. And then he said that word is a theophany. Now, most of you know this, but some of you may not. But a theophany, and a theophany is a word body. It's an appearance of God. It's a way that God, it's a body that God could dwell in that wasn't born of flesh, like Jesus the man was. But it was actually God's taking a form in a theophany. And that theophany could be whatever. He could make it whatever he wanted to. And it was, and Brother Bam said, now this is where Melchizedek was, because Jesus had both father and mother. But this guy didn't have father or mother. See, he was without father or mother. Right. So the only one he could have been was God. Right. But yet he came in flesh. So he shows that God took his thoughts, he spoke the word, the very word that he created heaven and earth, all the angels, everything. And that word eventually became flesh in Jesus, but that word was in a theophany body, a word body. And in that body, he formed this being called Melchizedek and came to Abraham and blessed Abraham when Abraham had come back from fighting on his Lot's behalf when Lot was taken captive, and he went and freed Lot from his captives. And so on his way back from that battle, Melchizedek met Abraham, and he gave to Abraham bread and wine, which is a type of communion. And communion had never been instituted. This was back before Moses, back before the law, all that. Here this being comes, which we know now was God in flesh, came and he met Abraham and gave to Abraham bread and wine. And Abraham gave tithes to him. And this person, the scriptures just spoke about it just enough that there was a mystery there, so that in this end time, God could come along with a prophet and open up that mystery and make it plain to God's elect so they could understand why. And in the process of understanding why there was a visitation to Abraham by this one called Melchizedek, we get to learn great things that moves a lot of obstacles out of our way so we can have a body change. This is what this is for. And so he's bringing these truths for that purpose. So Melchizedek was thought, then became word, theophany, then eventually became Christ Jesus, the flesh born. But Brother Adam says, but now, he says, now you believers, you were thought also. You were thought in the mind of God, just like Christ Jesus was the thought.
Yeah.
And when Jesus came out of that thought into word body and then became flesh later, Brother Bram said, you came from thought, you bypassed theophany and came to flesh for the reason to be tempted, for temptation. But then after we're done here, we go back to theophany. So the very thing that we bypassed is what we go to, and what gets us from flesh to there is rapture, is body change. Everybody follow that? So that's what gets us to be into theophany, or into our word body, is a rapture. And so he shows us that we bypass that for temptation. But the very thing that made Christ Jesus the success he was because he was that thought. He did not bypass the form of the word. Can the word fail? So if he put you in word form, you're not going to fail. So Jesus did not fail because he was word form first and then became flesh. And he went back to that after he, you understand what I'm saying? So, but we bypassed that, yet there's an element about us that we were in the thoughts of God, but God has to place us in a word body. So while we're here, we're in this flesh, and this flesh is fallen, but in us is that deposit that was in his thought to begin with, and it's perfect, and it's going to move and work until some point God's going to take that and strip away a fleshly body that denies him and puts us in a word body that praises him.
Amen.
And the rapture is what brings that. So in this Melchizedek message, nobody else has preached this, nobody else knows about this stuff until this prophet comes along and brings this stuff out for you and I to know what's going on here.
Amen.
So that's what he's done. And so, Brother Branham, in this sermon, he said, now, and the scripture says this, talking about this Melchizedek, first of all, by interpretation, he was first the king of righteousness. And then after that, he was king of peace. And remember, king of Jerusalem. Salem, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Jerusalem, Salem. He was king of Jerusalem. King of peace. And you know what? The church of the living God, the bride of Christ, is the new Jerusalem. And she has a king. Right? Right? The city of the king. Jerusalem. The city of peace. That's who she is, see? That's where he's going to abide, is with her. This king that he's talking about, the king of peace. And so this Melchizedek, first thing, he was king of righteousness. And then after that, and the scripture said, first, He was King of righteousness, then King of peace. And then Brother Branham said, then after he came in flesh as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did the things he did and ascended on high, then he becomes King of kings. So he was King of righteousness, King of peace, then King of kings, all of it wrapped up in one. Because remember, I said a while ago, he's your all in all. Everything's in him. So God's purpose was that when Jesus would finally win your redemption and then ascend back on high and take that heavenly position that he had prior to coming here, that when he'd go back to that, he'd be king of, still be King of righteousness, King of peace, and King of kings. He'd be king over every domain. So as King of righteousness, he was king of a domain of righteousness. So in whatever realm it was, who's righteous? Only God. In his realm of righteousness. And this guy was king of righteousness. He was the top one of that dimension. I'll put it that way. I just try to break this up in the way that I understand it. But he was the king of that domain, that dimension. First. And so Brother Branham, he ties it like this. He says, now see, King of righteousness, he said, the great Holy Spirit. Now, how many knows that the Spirit of God, before he ever spoke and created anything, that same Spirit is the same thing as the Holy Ghost now? Right? Just it's being administered in a different way because now it's living in people. It was God above us, God with us as the man Christ Jesus, and then God in us in the Holy Ghost. But that Holy Ghost is the same one that was up there. And that's why the scripture said Mary would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. But yet she was impregnated by God, supposedly, see? So the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and that Holy Spirit's the same thing as the Spirit of God. So Brother Ben says, here was this Melchizedek, and he was King of righteousness. He was the great Holy Spirit up there as the Father in that realm, righteous, holy. No one could approach him and touch him. You see, how would we ever get there to him? If he's the form of life, how could we ever have it? And if he stayed up there and we were down here in this condition, we'd be doomed. There'd be no peace. But he left that dimension and he tied that as being that thought and that great Spirit, and then he condescended from that level down into this word body and began to appear, not born as flesh, but appear as flesh as Melchizedek. And when he came bearing peace because he was the King of peace. Right? We wouldn't have peace if he'd have stayed up there as the great King of righteousness. But if he came as King of peace, hey, what's he bringing to you? Peace. Well, if he's bringing peace to you, there must be something going on now that lets you know that you're not at odds with this great King of righteousness. Because now he's coming as King of peace to you to bring peace. All right? So he's King of righteousness, King of peace. And then he said after that he became King of kings, Lord of lords. And so then that next stage where this King of peace actually comes down, he's in the man. And now that man lives in you and I. So we have within us King of righteousness, King of peace, and King of kings in us. And so, as the King of peace, he brought to Abraham, and Brother Branham laid it out this way, his victorious child, and this is what I mentioned the other day, after you get yourself whipped out because you're your worst enemy, after you get yourself whipped out, what? Get your own thinking out, man's thinking, all the denominational mindset, get back to the Word of God, you have a victory when that happens. And when you reach that victory, overcoming yourself, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the world, when you reach that point, and by the way, it's Him who helps us overcome. It was Him who helped Abraham defeat those kings, and then He took another form and met Abraham on the back. See, it's Him doing it all. So He gives you victory. And then on that victory, then He comes to you to bring something to you. And if you've been out fighting and you've been battling, everything swinging swords at you, you're not in peace. But when you've won that victory, then you have peace that can set in. You see what I'm saying? So when you whip yourself out and you get that victory in your life, even on a daily basis, by His design, you encounter this one who's called Melchizedek, which we know to be Jesus Christ, which is now in the form of the Holy Ghost. I hope that doesn't confuse you. We encounter this one who brings us peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And when he comes, when this Melchizedek came to Abraham, who had won this victory, he brought to him bread and wine, which was a type of communion. And Brother Branham, in this sermon, you don't hear other people talking about this. You might now, but back in that day, you didn't. That what communion is, true communion, is when you give of yourself. We share with each other. Listen, saints, you know, I can tell you big churches don't have close fellowship like we do. We're blessed. There's something about being small. You know, we have grand ideas about having growth and all that, and we do. We want God to add to us. But you see, true communion, true fellowship is when we're sharing the deepness of one another. We're close. And so he said when Melchizedek came, he said when that happens, he's actually giving of himself. The bread and wine was a type of it. He gave of himself. And Brother M says, when you are partakers of this one, of this bread and this wine, you're partakers of him, you become part of this great being. So in the act of communion, in the act of coming like that, and this great one called Melchizedek come and giving bread and wine, he's actually ministering to Abraham, part of himself. And Abraham, when he partakes of that, actually becomes part of that being. Right? That's the truth. You become part of that great being. And so, but this only happens after a victory. That's why it's so important for us to overcome, and that's why it's so hard to overcome. Because if you ever overcome, then there's a victory there for you, and then you're going to have an encounter with this Melchizedek. You're going to have an encounter with this one who's after the order of Melchizedek. I'll say it that way now since it's Christ. And he's going to give you part of himself. He's going to impart into your experience more of him. More bread, more wine, more of him. You're going to have closer communion. You're going to know more about him. And he's going to, he already knows all about you, but like us, we know more about each other. He's going to know more about you. You're going to know more about him. Your reciprocation is going to be tighter. But it has to be from one victory after the next victory after the next victory. And so that's what this one was coming, Melchizedek was coming to Abraham, bringing him victory. And so bringing to him peace from the city of peace. Whenever we have people come from Finland and different places, you know, and a lot of times, or when we go to Mexico, brothers come from Mexico or something like that, they used to bring gifts from their own country to give to those who they... You know, they don't always happen that way, but you understand what I'm saying. There's workers from Finland come over, and they'll bring things from Finland. They'll bring chocolate from Finland. I remember bringing some back myself because they have a big, you know, they have a lot of different chocolates and stuff. But my point is, when someone comes from another country and they're coming to visit someone they're close to and they want to interact with, they're probably going to bring some kind of gift that represents where they come from. Something about that economy. You're going to bring it and share that with. So he was from the city of peace, and guess what he brought? He brought a little bit of what's in that city and let Abraham taste of it. That's what I'm trying to show you, see? He brought it, and the scriptures say that when you are partakers of the Holy Ghost, you are partakers of the world to come, the power of the world to come. So why? Because he has come here bringing to you part of that dimension so that you might taste of it and you might feast upon it. Why? You're going to go there. Amen. You're going to go there. So that's what he does. So he gives part of himself. Now, what was he giving? Well, we said bread and wine. We're talking about peace. But what kind of priestly order was this? Now remember, we had the law under Moses. We had the Levitical priesthood. Men who died had to be replaced, and they died and had to be replaced. And a law that was the same way, the law has to match, or the priesthood has to match what they're trying to offer. You get that? This is what the scripture tells us. That when the law was not going to be something that was sufficient, so the priests that represented, they're not sufficient. They died, and you had to put somebody else in their place. They die, somebody else to put in their place. They themselves have sin and infirmities. So they have to go and offer blood for themselves. Then they can offer blood for somebody else after they're cleansed. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to offer blood for himself. See what I'm saying? So this priesthood has to represent what they're offering. And because the law is not sufficient to save you, the priesthood was not a sufficient priesthood to make intercession for you the way God wanted the priesthood to do it. So, why? What kind of priesthood, what kind of priestly order was this Melchizedek? Well, first of all, it came long before Moses ever come on the scene and before the Levites. God brought Melchizedek to Abraham. And so the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 16, if you'll bring that up, this is the kind of order. This priest, Jesus being made after that, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So if your priesthood has to represent, they have to represent the thing they're offering, and if you're going to offer eternal life, then you've got to be an unchangeable priesthood. Right? So the law under Moses couldn't fit that bill. But Melchizedek can. So Melchizedek and also Jesus, that's why it said, Brother Branham, in preaching, who is this Melchizedek? He said, and whoever he is, he's still alive tonight, says the scriptures. Yep. Man wants to say, because they can't wrap their head around it with their own intellectual thinking, if they get the Holy Ghost, he would lead you to this truth. They make it something else, but it's just what the scripture said. He was without father, without mother. Couldn't be Christ Jesus, but it was Christ Jesus before he became flesh as Jesus. It was God in a theophany before he became Christ Jesus. That's the truth. But what was he doing back there? God always establishes and does the right thing first. He doesn't have to back up on anything. So one might look and say, well, the law of Moses, and that's what people do. I've got people in my family, they want to live by the law of Moses. They think, oh, this is so great. It's nonsense because it was not sufficient. I say that with reverence, understanding it had its purpose. But what we needed was a priesthood and an offering that was going to be the real thing. And that's what God brought to Abraham, because Abraham was the father of faith. It started with him, and we are the children of Abraham. And the law only came as a schoolmaster for a while. Amen. To get us from there to the time that we could have the fullness of what God was trying to do back then with Abraham. We could all have that fullness now. Right. And so that's what happened. So this Melchizedek, this priestly order that came to Abraham, who was going to establish an unchangeable covenant, had to be an unchangeable priesthood. One who didn't die. One who ever liveth, as the scriptures goes on to say, I think it's somewhere in here. Let's go to verse 24 and 25. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But this man, because he continueth ever, he doesn't die, he keeps on and on, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. He doesn't die. He doesn't cease from making intercession for you. So he's the right kind of priest for the right kind of covenant that could do what God wanted to do with you. Amen? That's what he was. And so that's the kind of priest, the order that was. He's not built after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. If you're living in a situation where it's, and I know we have do's and don'ts, and the Holy Spirit corrects us all the time, is you have to realize in that domain, do you realize in that domain, when you're in that dimension and you're in that body and you're no longer here in this one that's constantly warring against you, like we talked last week, when you get there, you're not going to be fighting against evil tendencies. It's not going to happen. Why? Because you're living in the realm of the power of an endless life.
If it wasn't an end, if it had a life that had end, that would mean it would have sin and fighting and all kinds of struggle in it. But it's not. It's a life that doesn't have that. And this priest was made on that order, this Melchizedek. He couldn't send Jesus back then. He had to wait to send him now. But he had to establish this order back then in the first place. So that's why he sent Melchizedek. He established this kind of unchangeable priesthood order back then, knowing that Christ Jesus would be made after the order of Melchizedek. And so, this is the kind of priesthood, priestly order that God brought to Abraham to establish that. And the law that come 400 years later could not take away that covenant and that situation that he had. The scripture said, Hebrews 7:19, let's read this. The law made nothing perfect. Do you see that? But the bringing in of a better hope did. Talking about this, the law couldn't do it, but this order of Melchizedek can do it. Right? Jesus. The law couldn't make anything perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And it's by that that we draw nigh to God. You'll never draw nigh by the law because it can't make anything perfect. I wish I had some relatives sitting here listening to this. You can't make it and draw nigh to God under the law. You've got to find this better hope, which is a priesthood who lives in a spirit and a realm that's life and nothing else. No sin, no condemnation, no drawback from the word. Life. And when that life begins to have its influence on you, you begin to live that way.
Right.
You begin to live after the power of an endless life. It begins to have that effect on you. Now remember, how do we get from flesh to theophany? What happens when we're in flesh and it's time for us to begin to change to that? What happens? And this is what we're talking about now. What happens as we draw near to our body change? And remember the magnet. As he gets closer, what happens? Even though you can't see it so much, there's something taking place there. And so Brother Branham goes on to say, now this is the kind of priesthood that was established to Abraham, and then he comes along and he says, now, you never heard no more about Melchizedek. How many knows there's only just a few places in the scripture where it's mentioned? And then it's silent. And then all of a sudden, the first church age messenger mentions it in Hebrews. Paul, the first church age messenger, the Alpha. You know, Brother Branham's ministry was to be the Omega. Right? He said, I have not divvied one bit from the teaching of Paul.
Yeah.
Right? So he taught everything that was laying right there on that foundation of Paul. So Paul mentions this Melchizedek, so Brother Branham has to mention it. But Brother Branham's job is to come along and express the things that Paul wasn't allowed to at the time. And how many knows the scripture said? Paul was not, there was only things he could see darkly, but there come a time where we'd be able to see him face to face. Paul said it himself. So that ministry at the end time was to bring those things to us, and they would remove obstacles and bring us close to body change. So he said, you never heard much more about Melchizedek. Why? He said, because he became Jesus Christ. So now Jesus, what's his job now? What's his job? Remember, it was King of Righteousness, then King of Peace, right? And King of Kings. Identifying the man Christ Jesus as the one who's King of Kings, because all these others are now tied up in him, right? Everything we need is in him. And so Jesus, this Melchizedek, you don't hear any more about him because he became Jesus. Now, we're not looking at Melchizedek so much. We're looking at Jesus, who was made after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, that very reason that he was made the way he was so that Jesus could come along and continue that priesthood, that order. So Jesus' job was to continue on with all the rest of the believers what God was doing with Abraham, with Melchizedek. Now Jesus is continuing after the order of Melchizedek, which is an unchangeable priesthood, which is representing eternal life, a power of an endless life, That's what he's representing. That's what he's giving. And when he comes, he has to give that to us. Because when he comes, he brings to us communion. He brings to us bread and wine. He brings to us the Word and the Spirit. He's bringing to us himself. And guess what? When he brings to us those things that he is, he's bringing us peace from the city of peace, which makes us the city of peace. That makes sense? Because it's all in him. So he makes us partakers of the very God that he is, the King of kings that he is. He's now giving that of us, and we become part of that great being. Right? We become part of that great being. So that's Jesus' job, is to give us, to continue on what Melchizedek was doing, to give him himself. And he does that on a daily basis as you win victories each day. But he's to do it ultimately, once and forevermore, at the end of the age when he changes your body. The ultimate time when he sits down with you in that kingdom and eats that supper with you. That's the ultimate. And that's what we're nearing. But we've got to have that realm. And those things that are there continually, we've got to have that working in us now. So he brings that to us, just like he brought to Abraham. It brought those things so that Abraham could be partakers of those things of which he was representing. Right? Jesus Christ brings to you part of that dimension you and I are going to, so that we can be partakers, that can begin to work in us and begin to draw us like a pool. So we become part of him. And it's that when we become part of him, when Jesus gives to that part of himself to us, it's that that begins to pull us, begins to start drawing us, begins to pull us. It's, and here's another way Brother Branham referred to it. It's the quickening power. Mm-hmm. His terminology of message at the last, especially in 1965, he really began to talk about the quickening power. That quickening power that now is working in us. What's it going to do to you? If the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies. What if it don't? I think you know the answer to that. But if it's there, it will quicken you. Is it something you're doing? No, it's something he's doing. And by his blessings, he allows you to see it. And though you oppose yourself most of the time, probably, he still lets you see that he's doing it. And slowly but surely, you're losing ties to this world. You know something's happening and pulling you in a different direction than this earth. Something's changing inside you. Your desires are changed. See, your desires has to change because he's going to give to you what your desires are, right? So your desire has to change. So it's his quickening power that works in us. So yes, we were thought, we bypassed theophany and became word, or became flesh. We bypassed our word, theophany, became flesh. But God wants us to take us to that theophany. How's he going to do it? And that's what we're kind of talking about this morning. So yes, we bypass that, but when we get in his presence, something begins to pull us that way. I can't pull you in a direction where I'm not. Can you pull someone in a direction you're not? If he's pulling us, he's pulling us to that theophany body dimension. Because that's where he is. Because that's where he went back to, right? So he's pulling us. So when we get into his presence, he begins to pull us in that direction toward that. And this is why Brother Branham said, he said, see, it's like the little dewdrop. This is in, who is this, Melchizedek? So like the little dewdrop. He said, I don't know a whole lot about how all this works, he said, but it must be that during the night, during the darkness, that the moisture, you know, it congeals or whatever, and it lays on the ground. And the next morning when the sun begins to come up, here's this dew, this moisture that was once heavenly, but through the darkness it lay, it fell. There it was. He said, it's like that. He said, and it's laying there, it's fallen through the night. And he says, it's laying there. He said, but when that sun begins to come up, he said, it begins to glisten. Is that right? It begins to glisten. What's it doing? When it's glistening, you're seeing the reflection of the sun in it. It begins to get some life to it. This is what he's talking about. It begins to glisten when that sun rises. And he says, because it knows that sun is going to draw it back to where it come from. So when we get in the presence of God, there's something in us that knows in his presence, he's going to draw us back to where we come from in the first place, is where we belong in the economy of God.
Amen.
Right? That's why Brother Brim said the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Because the word redeem means to bring back. See, the world's got it all wrong. There's never been a dog that gave birth to cats. God will give birth to sons. And if there were sons and daughters, they'll always be sons and daughters, regardless of the fact they came in a fall.
Yeah.
But he'll redeem them, and when it's over with, he'll do like Jesus said, I'll not lose a one.
Amen.
So that's what he's doing. So that little bitty piece of dew there, laying there, and it's all, you know, falling through the night, but when the sun begins to come up, it begins to reflect some of the characteristics of that sunshine. And that sunshine actually has a move and a work upon that dew and draws it. And after a while, that dew's no more. You go around, you're looking for it. Where is it? It's gone. Where'd it go? Went back to where it came from. How'd it get there? Did it say, oh, I'm going to get out of here? No. The sun rose and drew it. Let it go up there. Brother Brim said it was like that. He said, it's like a woman about ready to give birth to a child. He said, I don't care how evil that woman is. I don't care who she is, how evil she is. When she gets ready to give birth to a child, he said, there's something sweet comes over her. Something sweet comes over that woman. Now, I know a lot of people will say, I ain't never seen that. But keep in mind, you got a prophet who could look in the lives and look in behind things. He knew things about people. We all know that. He said, because he had a super eye to look at spiritual activity. When he could see spirits and evil things working in people's lives, so he could look at a pregnant woman, and we might say, well, I don't necessarily see that. But listen to what he's saying, because he's speaking to words from God to remove obstacles. He said, no matter how evil she is, she'll become something sweet and sweet and nice about her will come over. I forget the words how he said it, but how many you remember that? How many remember hearing that? That'll happen. He said, what is it? He said, because that body's being formed there, and that body is just about complete. That body's just about ready for a birth from one world into another. And so that body's just about ready, and God has a life for that body. And he said, when that body begins to get ready, that spirit that's going to come down and go into that body, that spirit comes down is nearby. And that spirit begins to affect the nature of that mother, and she becomes real kind. Why? Because that spirit coming from God. It's a sinless life. It come from God. And so it starts having an influence even on the mother. Now you see what he's talking about. He said, this is what it's like. We're talking about who's this Melchizedek? How does this all work? How are we going to be changed to go into that word body? And he says, that life, when that baby comes down, it begins to change that mother. He said, why? Because when just as sure as that natural body gets completed, there's a spiritual body for it. A spiritual being, whatever, for it. He said, that's the way it is. When a son or daughter of God comes into the presence of God, something begins to change you. And he said, just as sure as that, which is, and I don't remember his exact words, but just as sure as what God is doing inside you and I, when that gets close to being completed, there's something that comes down. Something that's been drawing to begin with in the first place. And there's an influence that begins to take place. And we begin to be influenced from that invisible dimension, just like a mother's being influenced by that spirit of that child. Everybody follow me? So this is what he's telling us. And it's true. That we begin to be influenced by something. And so he said it's just like that mother getting ready to deliver a baby. And so you find out that, like the magnets, whose responsibility is it to change us? Whose responsibility is it to make us rapture? It comes from there. The pull comes from there. And when it comes time for that to happen, that pull gets closer. That pull comes down. And as that pull comes down, what does it start doing to you? Starts loosening your ties to this world. Man. Brother Bram talked about going to the big factory where they machine stuff, and he said they got done and all the guys swept all their metal shavings out in the middle of the floor where they machined all this metal for the day. And they all left. They put their aprons up on their machines and they all left. And the guy that run the thing said, "Watch this." And he hit this button and this great big magnet come out there. Come down there and whoosh, picked up all that metal. But there was metal that was left. Brother Bram said, "Well, how come that metal didn't go?" He said, "Oh, that's aluminum. And it's not magnetized to the magnet." And a great, great being come over with his pull, begin to pull, and all those metal shavings went up there, but there were some left behind that weren't magnetized to that pull. They never felt it. Yep. And Brother Bram said, "What about this over here?" He said, that's steel. It's magnetized to it. And the guy said, "Oh, that's bolted down. Yep. It can't go. There's a couple of things working here." See what I'm saying? Not everybody's magnetized to that pool.
That's
right. See? But when a son of God gets in the presence of God like that dewdrop or like that baby, that spirit, something happens and begins to pull. It makes a difference. So I'm going to read this quote. We're all familiar with it, but I want to end, and this is just, we're real close right here, about 5 minutes. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram says, when this happens, you know, he talks about the eagle and being an eagle in the chicken pen. How many remembers that story? Farmer goes out, he gets the eagle egg, puts it in with his chickens. Chickens all hatch, and this one egg hatches, and it's an eagle. Well, that eagle, now everything he knows, he's just as much one of them chickens as anybody else is. But he's not a chicken. He got a different appetite inside. And all the time while he's walking around that barnyard and all those chickens and all the hens clucking and they're all eating bugs and all this different stuff, the kind of stuff that chickens eat, that eagle, all he knows intellectually is that this is what he is. But he also knows there's something down, because he's an eagle, he's not a chicken, so he's got to know there's something different. I can't fully partake and be part of what this is because it just something's not, it don't fit me. Right? And Brother Bram said, but one day, Mama Eagle flies over the chicken pen. She knew she laid more than one egg. She flew over that chicken pen and she saw her baby down there. And she screamed out. And when she screamed out, that eagle who had never heard the voice of another eagle, who thought he was a chicken because it had been forced upon him by man-made doctrine, thinking that he's just part of everything else in the world and a part of that system or whatever. But another voice came and screamed out, and that eagle instantly knew that there was something inside it that knew and responded to that voice. Something here that sounded like that, or that sounded like this. It knew its association, and that was the first point in its life that something had happened that it realized, you know what, I'm not the son of Charles and Ellen Branham, as Brother Branham said. That I'm not what everybody thinks and what this world wants me to think. I'm something different because I'm hearing a different pull. I hear something calling me and I see an image of it down inside my heart. So when a son or daughter of God gets in the presence of Him, they begin to represent Him because why? He's pulling them. See? He's pulling them. So Brother Bram says concerning this, he says, then after you recognize that the Word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing and you've been formed to the living image of the living God you've heard from your theophany. We're all familiar with that quote. But I want to break it down just a little bit here and then we'll finish in this process. So here's this eagle and it's been told, eat this chicken food, eat this, eat that. And it don't really... You know, it's been doing it, but it just really doesn't like it because it doesn't fit it. But then this scream, this cry comes over. And then it realizes, I'm different. And I don't feed on this, I feed on something else. I feed on a cry of the revelation of Almighty God through a prophetic ministry and through the Word being revealed in my day, I hear another scream. I hear a great eagle scream, and it matches what's in here because I connect to that and I realize that's what it is. And so when that happens, you leave the other thing, you begin to feed on that. You begin to listen to that, okay? So now, when he says that, then after that you recognize the Word of God as eagle food, you leave the other thing. Now here's what he's talking about. He said, after you realize that it's thus saith the Lord is your food, that you're an eagle, you're not a chicken, when you realize you're an eagle, and eagles eat eagle food, you leave that other diet, you quit listening to those other things, you don't look to that for your leadership and your guidance, you go straight to Christ Jesus, the Word alone, because He and He alone, it's all in Him, and I'm looking to Him and Him alone, you turn to Him, now you have recognized that the Word is eagle food. And when you do that, you leave those other things. That's the quote. When you recognize that the Word of God is eagle food, you leave the other thing. And he said, that's denominational teaching, man's teaching, every idea that's out there under the sun that's contrary to thus saith the Lord, revealed truth from the Bible that's brought to us in this hour through prophetic ministry. Right? You leave all that. This becomes your diet. You leave that and you begin to eat on eagle's food. And he said, when that happens, you leave those other things. He said, at that point, you've been transformed into a living image of the living God. Can you be a living image of a living God when you're feasting on all this stuff out there of the world that's not truth? Man's scrupled up ideas about who Melchizedek was, about three gods, about... That's not an image of God. You're not going to bear the image of God feeding on the wrong thing. But when you're feeding on the Word of God and what it does to you, then you become a living image of the living God. Well, the last thing he said there on that was, this is what happens when you're doing this. You've heard from your theophany. You've heard from it. You've heard from your theophany. You were thought, you bypassed theophany, you went to flesh, and here you are, but all of a sudden now you realize the Word of God is eagle food, and you connect to that, you're hearing from your word body. You're hearing from the very thing you're going to go to. Right? Eternal Word of God. You're hearing from that, and I'll take you back to the first thing I said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And so rapturing faith has to come from rapturing Word. And you're hearing your rapturing Word because it's your Word body that you're in connection with. That's what you're hearing right now. Is the very thing that you're going to be clothed with. You don't have to worry about in that dimension whether or not you'll be pleasing to that dimension. Because in that dimension, that Word that you're going to be clothed with, that's going to be you. And what's in your heart now will be able to live out in the glory of God with that kind of expression throughout eternity. And by the way, you don't stay in a theophany body. That theophany forms a glorified, right? And in a theophany, you don't eat, but you do in the glorified. Read it in your scriptures, Jesus. The Bible tells us these things. And so you see there what we're in contact with. We're not contacting the words of a man. We're not even contacting the words of Reverend William Branham or Donnie Reagan or Tony Roberts, Daniel Black. We're not in contact with those words. We're in contact with the very theophany body. If something's got a hold of you now and you realize, you know what? The Word of God is where I get my source and I'm not going to feed on this other stuff. And you're feeding, then something's already happened to you. You're already hearing from that dimension. And when it gets time for your body to change, and that draws nigh, we've heard the phrase, we'll speed up and they'll slow down. When that begins to happen, you have to realize there is a pull that's happening there between us and them, and that's making us lighter here on this earth. And all I can tell you is that get into the Word, look to the Word, and deny these other things that are contrary. And the more you do that, the more you'll be less tied to this world. You won't be bolted down. And when He finally gets close enough, there you go. Just like that magnet. He'll pull you out of this dimension. You'll be gone so fast. Just like that. The twinkling of an eye. I heard years ago that General Electric measured the twinkling of an eye, and it was 11/100 of a second. That's pretty fast. You might feel a little sharp pain just for a... And then that's it. You're done. You're in that other dimension. Think about it. We're not going to make it happen ourselves. He's going to do it. But all we do is we stay in the presence of the Word. We stay in the presence of that pool. I like what that pool feels like. You know, if Brother Tim wanted to take me fishing, and I wanted to go fishing, but I had ropes tied to me that had me tied to the ground, and I had a knife in my hand, what would I be doing? I'd start cutting ropes. One rope after that, because I want to go fishing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Start cutting the ropes that are tied to this world and it just happens on its own by staying in the presence of the revealed Word. Amen. That'll change you. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. You love the Lord. I'm so glad that God's Word speaks. He didn't leave us in this dark hour with nothing to guide us, nothing to help us. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your truth, for Your Word. Lord, for sending a wonderful message in this hour to help us walk in light. Lord, as You're in the light, to walk and not stumble. Though the whole world is walking in darkness and gross darkness, Lord, You have made light for Your people. I pray, God, that You would just through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, You would give us, Lord, the power, the anointing, the ability, Lord, to truly embrace what You've done for us, Lord, that we'd truly embody it. Lord, we wouldn't make provisions for the flesh. We would learn how to cut the ties of this world by staying closer, just feeding upon Your Word. We ask, God, that You'd help us in these things. We know some great day, Lord, that as You get to that point where You're ready, Lord, we'll go. But I pray, God, that it's between now and that time, Lord, You just allow us to walk closer to You, feed more upon these truths. Anoint Your ministers, Lord God, no matter where they are around the world. Anoint them, God, to speak these words and to preach these things into the lives of Your people, Lord, that they can understand the great hour that we're in. Lord, as we look around and see the world, we see the headlines. They're absolutely making it come to pass what has been told us from Your Word, from a prophet that walked among us, Lord. We realize these things are absolutely happening, and yet there's a side in the flesh that doesn't believe, doesn't care, is not startled by it, but Lord, inside we're startled because we know that the hour is late. We ask, God, that You would just help us to be fervent in everything we do for You, Lord, and make room for You in a greater way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's just sing a song of worship for a few minutes.
I feel the control. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit moving me to give.
control. I feel the pull.
How many feel that pull in your life? Aren't you glad for it? There was a time in my life I didn't really feel it like that. You know, I'm careful in saying that because I remember all through childhood growing up there was something, but I'm glad for that pull. That the Spirit of the Lord is drawing you. And I agree with those words. That I agree with Him. Lord, come. Take control. For I feel the pull. And so we're thankful for a message. Just remember next weekend, the service is next weekend. Be in prayer. I believe that the Lord will speak to our hearts next Sunday morning. And so just be in prayer about that. And I believe God for the utmost. Amen. And so you can be dismissed. In Jesus' name.
At night I lay in bed and I mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, for I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Please come and take control. I feel the pull. I went to hear the word, and with each night and phrase, He was drawing me to live a higher place. A deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I've reached the goal, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call.